depending wholly upon the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll draw your attention to the first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2, and the first part of verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2, and the first part of the 7th verse. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. I was somewhat troubled in what to bring before you this evening, until just as we got into the village, when this word came, and it seemed very sweet to me that our friend should give out the hymn right on this subject. Well, as help firstly, who is this text addressed to? Peter says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. The Lord will never be precious only to them that are brought to believe. What is it? I feel we do well to examine it first tonight, to believe. What Peter really expresses here was the same thing that Paul expressed to the jailer and his household. When the jailer, the Philippian jailer, said, what must I do to be saved? What did the Lord instruct Paul to say to him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household. It really meant this, and it's a sweet way to me to look at it. It means put your whole trust, your whole care into his hand. Put all your trust. Now, I would ask you this tonight. Where is your trust and mine? We have come to the close, as it were, or come into the close of another year. Where's our trust? Who are we leaning upon? Where are we casting our care? Are we amongst those that put it all upon the Lord? All our trust is in him. The wise man in Proverbs gives us a searching word. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. How many times during the course of our life we lean in on our own understanding. We try and fathom things out. We try and understand them, rather than trusting wholly in the Lord. Put all your confidence in him. Now the sinner that believes knows what it is to put all their trust in him. All their confidence in the Lord. But I'll leave that with you there, because I want to come to how precious the Lord is to these characters. And we can commence by suggesting this to you. How precious is the Lord to you, the Lord Jesus to you, as we enter into this season of the year? a sweet thing to enter into this season knowing a little of the preciousness of Jesus. Because if you know how precious he is, you won't want anything else of the things of time at all. How real the hymn writer's words which we have just sung. He's more precious than our daily food and more precious than our vital blood. Now is the Lord that to you? Because he is to them that believe most precious. Peter says unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. Do we know anything of the preciousness of Jesus? Those wise men, when they went up to Herod, they desired to know. And when they got to the place where Jesus lay, they found him to be a precious babe. I believe they saw how precious he was. And what did they do? They fell down before him and worshipped him. Now if Christ's precious to you, you all know something of what it is to worship him. Now he will only be precious to you as he makes himself precious. There's nothing to attract the natural man to the preciousness of Jesus. Did not Isaiah say, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him? But if the Lord does to you what I trust he has done and did do several years ago to me, he did this. He stamped death upon everything of the world and everything that I love naturally. It's painful to the flesh, it was at the time. There were many things in sport and in the world that I love. I say that to my shame tonight, really. But my old nature loved it. But there came the day when the Lord stamped death on it all. And it no longer was precious to me. And then he sat before me after doing all this, killing me of it, we may say. The Lord does kill to make alive. Hannah proved it. Many others did too. Paul did. You go through the 7th chapter of the Romans, I've often said that is the key to chapter 8. And you will see how God killed him and made him alive. But he sat before me after killing me of all this, something most precious. And I didn't want anything else. And that was Jesus. Now if the Lord reveals himself to you, you won't want anything else. So let me say tonight, as we enter, it is my soul's desire that we enter into this season of the year, we might know how precious he is and how precious his birth is to his dear people. You look, and we've been in it during the day much, that wonderful word which the Lord sent to the shepherds when they were keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel came down with this message from heaven. And it was so personal to them. And in it was a deep preciousness. For unto you, notice how personal, for unto you, oh, may the Lord tell you and me, each of us tonight, that word. Is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord, unto you. Now that word was music in the ears of those dear shepherds. It was just what they needed. And in it was wholly spoken of Christ, Jesus. And it was this precious babe they wanted to find. And they were instructed to go up and see him. Do you, in your heart, have a desire tonight to find this precious babe? There are some sweet characters in Scripture. The Lord brings them before me that had the desire to find him. Oh, come low, have you tonight a desire to find this precious babe, Jesus? And I would begin with the three wise men. They said there to Herod, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They had a desire which Herod didn't have. And they wanted to say, for themselves, this precious Jesus. Now, you may have heard many of the dear servants of God preach of how precious Christ is, but you want to know for yourself. They did, and they wanted to view him. But go back into the Old Testament. Look at that dear patriarch of old, Job. He had the same desire. Is it your desire and mine tonight? Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Now the Lord, where he gives such a desire, such a concern, will in his appointed time fulfill the desire of that character. He did the wise man. He did Job. Was not Job blessed with, I would say, one of the sweetest revelations of Christ that a child of God could ever have? Look at the place where dear Job was brought. Was it not to this, where he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth? Do you know? It's not a matter, like George Rose used to say, I never say I think. I always say I know. Job knew. Do you? I know that my Redeemer liveth. Better go further. The spouse in the Song of Solomon, she had the same desire to know the preciousness of Jesus, and she wanted to find him. She didn't rest, she sought him upon her bed. She went about the city. She says to the watchman, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Do you have that desire? She went a little further and she found him. And look what faith does. She would not let him go. She held him. She embraced him. Now if Christ is made precious to your soul, your little faith will embrace him. She held him and would not let him go. Living faith has hands and it will embrace the precious Saviour. But to go to the New Testament, we find there the same desire, really. Those dear Greeks, did not they say, sir, we would see Jesus? Do you have this desire tonight? You want to see him? I believe to them he was the one thing needful. Now I've named just a few characters that had the desire, and you look how precious he was to every one of them. Has he made himself precious to you? Come home to us here tonight. Do you know anything of the preciousness of Jesus? Have you the desire that he may be to you the one thing that was needful? Did not Asaph have the same desire? And was he not able to say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none that I desire upon the earth beside thee. Now the Lord was very precious. Unto you therefore which believe then, he is precious. There's no doubt about that. I think of the late Mrs. Noble that used to attend us at Ashwell. The last few years particularly of her life, she lived for the Word of God. She lived to experience a little how precious Christ was. She tasted it here, you say.
You know, the child of God, a taste it here. And their entry into the fullness of it in glory. Now she tasted it. And there were times when I used to go and see her and she used to say how precious the Lord was. She didn't have to say it really at all, because all she desired was Him and His Word and the blessings that flowed into her soul, flowed through Christ. And the atmosphere that used to fill the house, and even the house of God when she was there, was so often the atmosphere of heaven and of the sweet presence of the Lord. Why? Because Christ was so precious to her. You could have offered her the whole world, but it meant nothing to her. She used to look at things of time, and they meant nothing to her at all. What about you today? The things of the earth mean everything to you. They're all perishing. Oh, if you know what it is for death to be stamped on them all, sinner, they're all being just fading away. This is to make you prize this preciousness of Jesus. Because all then you'll want to be Him. Unto you then, therefore, that believe, He is precious. Now, He's precious in His blessed person. The very person of Christ to the child of God is most precious. And I've often thought of, after He had been crucified, and they sought the body of Pilate, the body of Jesus, that they might take it and lay it in the tomb. Now you think of that precious body as they carried it up to the sepulchre. I often think of whose body that was. I would say it rightly tonight, but I trust it's been very precious to me. It was the body of their dear Saviour, the Lord of life and glory, and they carried it up to the tomb. It was a precious body. It knew no sin. It was not defiled. It was precious. And they laid it in that tomb for the resurrection morn. Precious body. But further, everything that proceeded from Him was precious. And I would name a few of these tonight, just briefly. First, His precious blood. Oh, that the Lord would help us to value it more and more. The precious blood of Jesus. Who is it precious to? Those that feel and know their inward sin and defilement, and that sin is a great burden to them. They know the need of the application of the precious blood of Jesus. You may be ever so sad sometimes, ever so cast down, because of your sin, and sin hangs heavy on your heart, but take courage, sinner. The precious blood of Jesus, God's dear Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He can cleanse the worst of characters. Think of the blessed music that sounded forth when the angel said of his precious name, "His name shall be called Jesus." Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He can save by that precious blood the very worst of characters. Is it precious to any of us here tonight? The precious blood of Jesus. And one more thought regarding it, and this will be precious. It'll never lose its power. It won't matter what else you look at, age, the power is depleted and decreased. It won't matter what anything of time, the older it gets, the weaker it gets. But not so with the precious blood of Jesus. It never loses its power. It still has the same power today as it did in the day the Lord Jesus shed it on Calvary's tree. And that'll be very precious to you. But the name of Jesus will be precious. We sometimes sing that beautiful hymn, and sometimes I feel sad that there's not more verses of it in our book. What is it, this? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Is it precious to you, the name of Jesus? Because in that name there's everything. There's not a name beneath the sky, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus. You know, the very anthem and song of those in glory is of his precious name, Jesus. And it's most precious. Now the name of Jesus will be very precious to your ears. But then too, his suffering. Oh, how precious these are. The preciousness of the sufferings of Christ. And when are they made precious to us? When we enter into them by the sweet revelation of the Holy Spirit and by living faith. There be made precious. Especially if the Lord, and I pray that he will to us, reveals to us the Lord Jesus suffering in our room, place, and stead, and then his sufferings will be most precious. Was it not, General Gardner, if I remember rightly, years ago now,
that when he saw Christ arrayed by faith upon Calvary's tree, suffering in his room, place, and stead, the dear man was sent unconscious for hours. But all he knew within his soul, the preciousness of those sufferings. Christ suffering in his room, place, and stead. Do you know anything of the preciousness of the sufferings of Christ? Oh, think of these things as we enter into this season of the year. They'll be most precious. Then, there will be such a preciousness in the voice of Jesus. Do you sometimes look back and think of those seasons when the Lord has spoken? You might say, oh, but we gone many years now, many days have passed since then, but you will never lose the preciousness of that voice. If you've ever heard the Lord speak to you, sinner, you'll want him to speak again. And that voice will be most precious. You look in the Word of God, a dear Mary Magdalene, and think how precious the voice of Jesus was to her. That dear woman loved him. Christ was the all in all to her. The one thing was needed. And you know, after the resurrection, when he spoke to her, she knew everything of the preciousness of the voice. When he called her by name, you know, the Lord knows every one of his people's names. He does. And he spoke to her, her name, and she knew him. Mary. That precious voice was known in her soul. Is the voice of Jesus precious to you? The poet, did he not say, this is the voice that speaks for me in heaven's high courts above, and from the curse has set me free, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. Oh, sinner, the voice of Jesus might be most precious to you. But then again, you love the things that Jesus loves if you believe in him. If your trust is wholly in the Lord. And the things that are precious to the Lord will be precious to you. I could truly say, regarding many of the Lord's dear people that I love in Zion, there are those characters that I could truly say in the sight of God, by grace, they are what they are, that they are precious characters. Why? Because they're precious in his sight, and they'll be precious to the church of God, they will. I think of one or two particularly, and now in heaven, that were such a strength to me in the early days, and to me they were most precious characters. Oh, I desire to have that grace that they were blessed with, and blessed with the answers of prayer that they were, and blessed too with the sweet manifestations of Christ that they had.
Oh, the blessings I experienced. But oh, they were precious. They were value to the Church of the Living God. Unto you then, therefore, which believe, he is precious. So his voice will be most precious. And then too, his sweet presence. Now as we think of entering, if we are spared here in the earth, to the new year, oh, my desire is that we might be favoured to know more and more the sweet presence of the Lord. I often think of the dear poet. They seem to sum it up in words that I can't express. May thy presence be my stay and guide us in this treacherous way. Oh, that's what you want. The presence of the Lord to go before you. And that'll be very precious, the presence of the Lord. Whether it be in your own soul, in the house of God, or in your home, it'll make all the difference if the Lord's there. And you have the sweet and gracious feeling of the Lord's presence with you. And that'll be very precious. Paul felt it. A little when he said, if God be for us, who then can be against us? I believe the apostle knew much of the preciousness of Christ. And there was nothing more precious than Paul had to preach than Jesus. There's nothing more precious to preach today than Jesus and the preciousness of Christ. But then again, he's precious too, and was precious in his day. Oh, the Lord suffered, bled, and died for his people. He was made sin for them that knew no sin. But look at that precious resurrection, Lord. Oh, that was a precious day. Because when he rose a mighty conqueror. What over? I would not say it lightly. See, death. Hell, Satan, the grave, all conquered foes. You know, Satan knows that he's conquered. But he goes about now having his last fling as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And not only like that, but very certainly as an angel of light too. The scripture tells us, trying to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. Of course we know he will never deceive them. But he had tried to. And he had to all in his power to try and disrupt your peace and mine, if we are real. Especially of those that believe, he'll do all he can to try and disrupt it, and to try and overthrow them. I know it's a negative evidence, but it's a wonderful evidence, really, if we know something of what it is to be plagued by unbelief. It's an evidence we believe. Because the world don't know any difference. Not that I would let you settle in any way in unbelief and say, well, the child of God always knows it. You are but a wrestler here. The Lord has always frowned upon unbelief. He kept the children of Israel 40 years in the wilderness. You look at how God frowned upon Zacharias because of his unbelief. Oh, may the Lord help you and me to believe, then all would easy be. But I see the time's gone. But may we know at this season much of the preciousness of Jesus as we enter in to his birth, and as we unfold and unwrap, as it were, the gifts that we may receive. Think of what Paul said, and it's a good word to leave you with. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his dear Son, Jesus.